Well, you can't imagine how good it is to be back at Our Lady of Lebanon. A few minutes ago, I was standing in the back, and Tariq pulled out his phone, and it said 11 o'clock, and he said to me, "Are we starting on Lebanese time or your time?" And I said, "Well, things have happened to me in retirement. First of all, at St. Peter the Apostle, where I have Mass every weekend, there are Masses in three different languages, Creole for the Haitians, Spanish for the South Americans and Central Americans, and then English. Only the English Masses start close to time, okay? So I'm getting more relaxed about the clock, and after all, when you're retired, there's nothing else to do anyway except enjoy life and pray. And so there's a 3:30 on Sunday Mass for the Haitian community, and there's a 5 o'clock English Mass that follows, and every Sunday there is conflict in the parking lot, even 90 minutes after the 3:30 Mass, which sometimes doesn't begin till 4 o'clock or after. So this is kind of nice. There's nothing following us except reception to celebrate Mother's Day, to which everybody's invited. And I have the great joy of bringing you greetings from the Eparch of the Eastern Eparchy, Abuna Gregory, with whom I celebrated a crowning last Saturday in Naples. A lovely couple from the parish of St. William are Lebanese and Maronites, and the bishop is the uncle of the bride, and so, of course, he was there and found out that I could manage to fumble my way through the Maronite rite, and so I stood at his side holding the cross and the mitre and the crowns and various other paraphernalia that would pass by us as we went along. But he was very interested and had heard about the foundation of this parish, and sends his greetings and was most excited and complimentary. Today, in the Maronite Sunday readings and in the Latin Church, we stop telling stories of the risen Christ and of Easter. It's not because we've run out of them, but because Pentecost is near. And what is really important is the result of the resurrection in terms of how it changed others. We shall tell that story soon with Pentecost, how they are changed. It's the story of how followers of Christ were changed by the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We'll hear that story of how those timid apostles locked in an upper room threw open the windows and were mistaken for mid-morning drunks because of their enthusiasm and commitment to the gospel. It's the story then of how the Easter experience was absorbed and finally changed the very identity of those who followed Jesus. The glorification that Jesus speaks about and anticipates in John's gospel, chapter after chapter, is at that moment experienced, and that glorification is when his oneness with God is unmistakable. It means that his presence can no longer be misunderstood or seen other than the presence of God. The death and resurrection of Jesus is his glorification. For those who recognize the meaning of his death and resurrection, the love of God is revealed. What seems to the unbeliever to be a disappointment and the violent destruction of a human life and the end of all hope is for believers a moment of glory. All that Jesus had is given to the community. It's the heart of his final prayer in that upper room. The mission is fulfilled. The love of the Son is revealed as the very essence of divine life being poured out into the community. All that Jesus had was love, and that's what he gave, all of it. What the Father had given him was what he gave to his disciples. When he proclaimed that the Father and he were one, it was love that they shared. That was their oneness. What the Son provided was the mutual indwelling of the love of God. What Jesus gave in his flesh, his body and blood, his will, so that the Lord God would have a dwelling place, be accessible and available, and be ours. Once we understand the commandment to love one another, once we understand this, that commandment is not simply a moral mandate. It's not a rule. It becomes an expression of glory. It's a revelation of God's presence and God's love. And this is a new kind of love for this world, which only believes in love of the lovable, love for those who deserve it. And people are always measuring out just how much love or when to stop. That's the way it goes with this world. But not so with divine love, to which we are called and which we experience when we find Jesus Christ for ourselves. He held nothing back. He poured out everything because that's what God does. He didn't pick and choose who received this love. He never asked if anybody deserved to experience his presence, healing, and forgiving. He never asked them if they were sorry. Everybody embraced by his love. When we stop to remember this, we ought to remember that Jesus died for Judas. I think that's why John starts this part of the gospel by bringing up Judas's name. Okay? Jesus died for Judas just as much as he died for Peter, John, James, Andrew, Martha, and Mary, and all the rest. When we remember and realize this, then we can start to see what divine love is all about and how out of the ordinary it is. This is glory. This is the glory of God revealed. He died for Judas and every other doubter and every other betrayer. Put yourself in that group anywhere you want. This kind of love is something new to the world. And this kind of love makes the whole world new. It's a love that means opening doors that we may have closed against others. It's a love that means we will respond to appeals that cry out for help without concern about whether or not they deserve help or are worthy. It means that oversights or mistakes that someone may have made are forgotten before they apologize, even if they never do. We've been raised with Jesus, and no power on earth can really conquer us. We have received the Spirit promised. We have the gifts it takes to set this world on fire with love. It is no longer the gifts of that Spirit for which we wait. Now we wait for the fruits of that Spirit that remain among us. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, friendliness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. As we look toward Pentecost, it must not be a matter of what gifts we receive, but rather how those gifts are manifest in our lives because of Jesus Christ. We and the Father are one. And the hour has come for us to be glorified so that God will be present wherever we're found.